Welcome to Psychic Girls Next Door. We are your hosts, Shannon Miller
and Lily Hibarino.
This podcast is for all spirituality enthusiasts and psychics next door to share tools, experiences, and spiritual practices that align with your highest vibrational self.
On this episode, we will be sharing our experiences with body awareness, specifically being connected to your body, your own perspective of your body, and any outside influences that may have impacted your perspective of your body. We will also share how our intuitive abilities have showed up through those experiences. Did we use any of them to discern our own versus outside perspectives of our bodies? And what was the lesson or lessons that we have learned from those experiences? And what are we still learning? I'll start by sharing my own experience with body awareness. I'll kind of do a timeline of what my own journey has been like. So I think my first awareness of being in my body or my body in general, I gotta say like third grade. Like, I think like that was kind of like, I mean, I've always been aware of like how my eyes looked like when you look in the mirror. And like, I loved the color purple as a kid. I loved purple shoes. I had, you know, just, I really vibrated with that color and matched with that color. And so I always loved like, you know, looking cute. I think,
well, you
I,
still do.
I think, yeah. No, I think I've always loved clothes and fashion. And I think like, I see it as like decorating your body in a way. And so as a kid, I didn't become aware of like my physical form. And maybe like when I was like really younger, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, I think in third grade, this boy, this is going to be, a tale of a sad story, not that sad, but just like when kids are mean. So, you know, if you find this content triggering, that's okay. Say hello to that trigger. You know, if you're triggered, you might be matching me and my energy. So in third grade, I had this boy who like, he poked me in the stomach and like made like the Pillsbury dough boy noise, like woohoo. And he called me the Pillsbury dough girl. And I've always been short. So like I'm 5'1" now. But I've always been kind of like petite, like never, I don't know if I was chubby necessarily at that age. I think in fifth grade, I was definitely chubby. But I also ate like goldfish, like I had a goldfish, addiction. and so I think like third grade was like the catalytic moment of like when kids start commenting on other kids' bodies.
It's very honest.
Very honest. And maybe I had a belly. I don't really know. But at the time, I became very, very aware, especially after that experience. And I didn't realize until like, I don't know, a few months ago when I was doing a meditation that like deeply hurt me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
can be traumatizing.
Yes,
for a child.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, when you have like crushes on like other people in your class, and like, I didn't have a crush on this kid. But I definitely was like, oh God, I just became very self-aware, immediately like hyper self-aware. And like, I became very kind of consumed with like what other people thought of my body. And my mom also has this vibe in her space. And, later when I was doing meditation on this, like it's runs in my feminine line of how you should be a certain size to get a man. And that like was kind of like the first awareness. And I wasn't doing it to get a man at all. I mean, I was 8 years old, right? Like I was just playing with my friends in recess and then walking back to class when that happened. And I was like, this is really like terrible. So
especially for an 8-year-old.
Yeah. And yeah.
An age when you shouldn't be worried about it.
You shouldn't be worried.
Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then I definitely like ate my feelings in like fourth and fifth grade. Like when like boys wouldn't like me or they would like my friends, and I would just like be like, well, why don't you like me? And, you know, it's a vibe. Obviously, it's a vibe. Like, no, not everyone is going to like you in that way. But I saw a lot of my friends getting like fifth grade, sixth grade boyfriends. And I was like, oh, it's probably because I'm not skinny. And I wasn't, I would say I definitely was chunkier in like fifth grade, but not fat. You know, and not like, and then we can also unpack like the stigmatism behind the word fat, like, because mm-hmm. that's also like fat is what you have on your body.
Everybody.
Everybody, like if the physical
it's the body, perception.
Exactly. The perception of fat, like fat is not a characteristic that you call a body. And then like, at least in like American society, it is. And it's like super, super. There's a lot of shame energy around it.
It's toxic.
It's toxic. Yeah. Like fat culture, it can be toxic. And I think a lot of it's shifted a lot the past couple of years of like, you know, owning that word and like empowering, you know, if you are in a larger body, then, you know, fat is not as triggering and trying to like destigmatize the word fat.
Right. But back in when you were growing
in 1998,
yes, it wasn't a thing.
It was not a thing. You know, and especially in 2000, like when I'm like looking back on the influences outside, like who was popular in 2000? Like what the media was showing, like stick thin, like
low rise jeans,
stick thin women, mm-hmm. like, you know, people who had like flat stomachs, like, you know, no boobs. And I mean, I went through puberty later, like in eighth grade. I like that's like, you know, when I got my period or whatever. But I would remember going, we did swim team growing up. So I was always active. I was always doing sports. I played basketball, even though I hated playing basketball. But my mom made us be in a sport all year long so that we wouldn't get fat. So, you know, and I plain and simple, that's really like why she wanted us to be active. And it was a great experience because my dad was the basketball coach, and like it was a nice way to like spend time with him in a different way. And so him and his friend coached like a CYO basketball league when we were growing up. And so, even though I hated it, like, I'm not a sports gal. I'm not. Maybe I might be an ice skater. I
think that's why we're friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah. I'm just like not coordinated in that way, which I didn't mind swimming because it's like you can't tell that you're sweating because you're in the water. Mm-hmm. And so I really like it. That was very pivotal for me to become. And then I think like just being aware of my body and not really knowing like what that meant for me. And like, I was very externally focused. Like, and I think that was also part of why I didn't really want to feel seen either. You know, shame around not being skinny and necessarily like because I was fat or chubby or whatever it was, but just shame about not being skinny and shame about not having a certain type of shape to my body. And I'm still dealing with those issues today, like in micro ways. I've been able to like get tools to unpack that and love parts of myself, but it does come up still to this day. And I think with my mom's information, it's been a journey. It's definitely been a journey. Like, I think I had such a weird eating habit when I was growing up. Like, I've never liked meat. Like, I never wanted to eat meat. But I think when I was like 13, I gave up meat completely. I went on this eighth grade Washington, D.C. trip, and I was just not. I was a pill. I was a terrible person that week just because I only ate bread. I didn't want to eat any. I was just like really, it was a control thing. I was not happy in my body. I was not happy at home. I think that was really when the ADHD perfectionism.
It was kind of an escape.
It was a way to like escape. And then, you know, eating disorders were in. Like, this is all very toxic and very triggering to talk about. But, you know, I was started watching The O.C. and, you know, different.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Laguna Beach.
Yeah. Laguna Beach. Like, that started happening in like 2004, 2005 of like just kind of like, you know, almost like a projection of validating that, like, my insecurities were accurate. Like, I should be feeling this negatively about my body. And, you know, like, if you're not a certain size, you're not beautiful. Or, and then also, like, what does being beautiful really mean to you? So a lot of those thoughts kind of came up in high school. And, but I've always loved fashion, and I've always loved being, like, colorful. And, like, I think in ninth grade, I wanted to work at 17 magazine. Like, that was
I think everyone that age, you're just, like, fascinated by working with all the fashion and the celebrities.
Exactly.
It just looked so fun.
Yeah. And I was, like, heavily influenced by, like, fashion, but it was always targeted towards, like, whatever body type was popular at the time.
Yeah, it was kind of like the Barbie-esque.
Right.
Yeah, so exactly. Like the long, big boobs, tiny waist,
right.
Kind of look.
Yeah, like the hourglass figure, but like a tiny, you know, kind of like ethereal essence, like that kind of vibe. Or like they didn't eat for weeks, that kind of, you know, depending on what year it was. So those were like my first influences about being in my body. And then I think with social media, it's interesting that I used it to like kind of escape and get entertainment around it. But then, cause at home it was constantly like measuring. My mom was always on a diet. Like growing up, like her and her friends are always on some weird diet, and like she was on Weight Watchers for a long time. I mean, this woman is like 5'3 and 135 pounds. Like, she's never been more than that. And that works for her. And that's her information. And I think it might be her mom's information. And just like it. But with me, I enjoy food. Like, I think like when I am very restrictive, it's almost like it, I just attract a lot of resistance. And like, anger in a way, like it's just angry that I have to be so restrictive and just not being able to enjoy my body in the way that I want to enjoy my body. And like kind of question, like it's like the like resistance to like, why do I have to diet like to look good for somebody else, like that kind of energy. And so that was like what we grew up with in our house. I know my sister was also deeply impacted by that as well. So in my meditation program that we've talked about in the past, like that was a lot of my program focused on like unpacking that and unpacking, like, you know, figuring out like, this is not my information at all. Like this is my mom's, this is her mom's, this is her mom's before that. And so today, like there's been a lot of inconsistency with like exercise and diet because I had to always be in a sport growing up so that I quote unquote didn't get fat. And then when I did gain weight, I gained like 20 pounds my freshman year of college. And then I ended up having to move home. And so I commuted the second semester. And my mom made me go to the gym every single, like 6 days a week to lose what I had gained. Because skinnier girls get the job, skinnier girls get the boyfriend. And I'm not trying to victimize myself in any way. This was just the experience at the time. And I went with it. Like, and it was nice having a workout buddy. And I do enjoy going to the gym. But it was just so restrictive. And like every time I ate something, I always had eyes on me about what I would like. Do you really need to eat that? Do you really need to like, oh, well, we're going to eat dinner in like 3 hours. Do you really need to eat that right now? And like, I would be like, well, I would eat twice. You know, like, so and to this day, like I was at home a few weeks ago and she was like, oh, well, do you really need to eat that? Because we're going to eat dinner. And it was like, 2 hours from dinner. So not everyone can survive off of like, you know, a cube of cheese and a few nuts. And so it's just interesting how.
But it was this controlling.
Yes.
Thing.
Yeah, it is a control thing. And I think when you have like I've never had, I don't know if I've ever had an eating disorder. I wouldn't classify it as that. But like when you have like such a hyper awareness of like what you're eating and like how it's going to impact your body, it's almost like it attracts that to happen. Like you're trying to prevent yourself from gaining weight or being a little bit bigger than what's societally acceptable or beautiful or whatever it is. And then you just kind of attract what you trying not to attract in a way.
Mm-hmm. Cause your focus, your energy is so focused on that.
Exactly.
That like attracts like.
Exactly. Right? You're going to manifest it in a way, even if you don't mean to. And so like now I've done a lot of like, I was for a few months, I was really into Rumble and then the pandemic happened. But before that, I was also into boxing. I did rock climbing for a couple years, like 4 nights a week. And I did like body rock, which is another like kind of reformer Pilates thing for 3 months at a time. But then I'll be like super hyper into it and like be like, yes, I'm going to lose all this weight. And like, you know, doing this to like get in shape and become more attractive for a potential man to think I'm attractive or whatever the reason is. And a whole slew of reasons, right? And so I'm never really doing it for myself. I'm never doing it for my health, which is probably the best way to do it, so that I can function healthy in my body and treat my body with respect and longevity, you know, aiming for like living until I'm 90. Like that's really my goal. And so like, what does that mean? but it's been... it's kind of like yo-yoing. And then it also relates back to my mom yo-yo dieting all the time, like always being on a diet. Or I mean, she didn't really yo-yo, but a lot of her friends yo-yoed. And I would see like, you know, when you're the inconsistent energy, it's something that I'm working on now to figure out like, how can I be a little bit more consistent? Cause I'm sure it has affected my metabolism in some way. And I'm 30, almost 32. I'll be 32 in July. And so now I'm like, my goal is to just be more consistent with like moving my body and then making the choice of, it's like high vibrational eating patterns of like, do I really want this? Is this going to serve my body like from a nutritional place? Not necessarily in a control freaky way, because I do deal with issues of being a control freak in micro ways in my own life. Hopefully it doesn't impact other people too much, but, yeah, so that's been my journey of my own body awareness. And, yeah, it's been a lot.
No, I mean, this is great. I mean, thank you so much for sharing all this. I resonate with your story so much. There's like a different level, mm-hmm. different experience, but like the core of it, you know, it's so interesting as women, mm-hmm. we just are subjected to a lot of this conditioning and programming. So with my story, I grew up in, I was raised in Brazil, which is a very body-centric mm-hmm. country. And we show a lot of skin mm-hmm. too, because it is a tropical country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Brazil is famous for the very tiny bikini. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of body and skin that, you know, gets, you show up. Mm-hmm. But, I am also Japanese descendant. So my grandparents immigrated to Brazil, escaping from World War II. And so my parents are born in Brazil. So I'm like the third Japanese generation in Brazil. So I'm both Latina and Asian. Mm-hmm. So what a great combination that my spirit decided to pick mm-hmm. for this lifetime. And interesting enough, I grew up Asian in a Latino country, and I hated being Asian. Absolutely hated. Because there were few people, like kids at school, there were not that many Asians. Not like nowadays. There was just a few kids. And, you know, and again, like you also had your experience with kids bullying you. Mm-hmm. I've also had my share of being constantly reminded that I was Asian and people making jokes about it, you know, and reminding me of that. So I just hated being that. And I was always like, as a child, I thought it was kind of, I was being punished, you know, that I looked different, that I didn't look the, I'm going to put quote unquote, like normal, right?
Right.
Normal. So that was that. I started, and again, my mom was the same way too. And I think both of my mom and your mom's generation were all raised in this diet culture.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That the body has to look a certain way. So on and so on. And then my mom also kind of, I remember going on a diet when I was maybe like 8 or 9 years old. I was a child.
Yeah. That's so.
I mean, it's just like, it's so crazy to think about it, but that's what she thought, that it was the right thing to do back in the days. Because as you know, as we girls, we go into that age, we start getting our periods and our bodies change. And I've always been very petite and skinny. Until I hit that age. And I think that was probably the age I had my period and my body started changing and I started gaining weight. So I was a little bit on the head, considered the heavier side of, compared to other girls. Especially not only Latino culture, but in Asian culture too, there's a lot of shame around being on the heavier side too. Because they, you know, when people, both in Brazil and the Asian culture, they're very verbal about making comments about how your body looks. Oh, looks like you've been eating a lot, huh? That type of things. But anyways, and I also, so I'm 45 years old. So I am a little bit of a different generation than Shannon. I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And the 80s and 90s was like all those models that you would see in the magazines, right? And maybe on TV too. And this, so there was like a very specific look too. Back in those days, they were all very skinny. So they had a certain look back in those days. And so that was kind of all this conditioning, you know, that was going on in my mind growing up. And I started, my mom put me in ballet classes, I think around that same time. I think I was maybe 9 or 10 years old. And I hate it. And the reason why I hate it is because I felt heavy. And I was heavier than the other girls, like in the class. You could visibly tell. And I couldn't move, like, as, or I don't know, quote unquote, gracefully, you know, because I had a harder time doing what they were doing. And the teacher would make comments about it. So you become like very self-conscious at a very young age. And then I moved on and I went more through my teenage years. I went to taking jazz, modern dance classes. And I really enjoyed that. I actually, because I love dancing. Not so much nowadays because it's my body. I think my physical body just cannot handle all the dancing anymore because I, but I love dancing. But again, I was constantly reminded of my body shape. You know, because you're wearing like really tight, you know,
form-fitting
outfits, you know, and they would make comments about it. And it was just me becoming more and more self-conscious about my physical body. I was constantly comparing myself to other girls because if you've been to Brazil or you have any notion of Brazilian women, they are beautiful. You know, so it was a being that space where I was always judge myself. Oh, I'm not as beautiful as so and so. I mean, and again, like this outside validation, I don't attract that guy or I don't have a boyfriend because, like in my case, or because I'm Asian or because I'm this and that. So always like this, trying to justify all those things. And so throughout the years, I myself the same way, I lost, gained weight. Also, again, this roller coaster. And I tried all sorts of diet. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
I tried. And I think all of us have kind of fell into that trap, right? You kind of like go into this crash diet, you lose like all the weight, but then a week later, you
kind of
like start gaining all back again. And, so it kind of went like that throughout the years. And I want to say maybe like in 2004, 2005, I was like in my early 30s. And I kind of started, I went to this phase where I knew that I needed to become healthier too. So I became obsessed with working out. So I kind of like went to like this completely like an extreme of like of working out. And I became like a gym rat.
I like can't see you that way at all.
You're like,
how long ago was it?
Yeah, like, gosh, like, well, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Right? So I just like at the gym, sometimes I would go twice in a day. Can you imagine? Like, I cannot even imagine doing that nowadays. Yeah. I just always at the gym. I was very restrictive too with my food.
Uh-huh.
Always like worried, you know, oh my gosh, I had that extra piece of chocolate or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then would just go into this like spiral.
Yeah.
Of self-judgment and criticism. And oh my gosh, I thought I was, I consider myself, I would say fat, but when I look at pictures of myself back in those days, I was like a size zero.
Oh yeah.
Even smaller than that. I was like an extra, I was like really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I saw myself as being heavy, you know, because in my mind, I was just so conditioned to think.
That's your perception.
That was my perception of how my body looked. Although, like, when I look at it now, I was like, it wasn't that at all.
Right.
It's so crazy. And then I kind of maintained that way, you know, for many years until actually I hit like 35 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when also hormonal changes happen.
Yeah.
Within the women's body, we go into like premenopause and all that stuff. And I gained a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very unhappy internally.
Yeah.
I was going through a lot. I was unhappy with my career, where I was in my life. I was going through anxiety, panic attacks. So it was just like all of that going on. And my body was just kind of like reflecting all of this. And I think along with all of that, again, the self-judgment, the self-criticism, like, oh my gosh, like, why can't I lose weight? You know, and I would. Again, like crash diet and all the stuff, and nothing was working. But I think for me, the change really happened when I started this meditation training, because I think it gave me an opportunity to look inside and just see, well, why is this information mine?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I think my body is not good enough? You know, so I started kind of like, again, unpacking to all this information, family, societal, all this conditioning, all this programming. And I mean, it's a journey, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's something that...
ongoing, too.
It's ongoing. And I think it's going to be a lifetime, you know, to really unlearn all this narrative that we picked up, you know, through our whole lives.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I start questioning a lot, too. You know, I would see things in the media and see people like glamorizing, right? This standard of beauty.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, why? Why do people think this is beautiful?
Right.
Why isn't that? And I think it was also because I started to be more accepting of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an interesting concept that we learn in our psychic training, something that we call neutrality, right? And I think you've already mentioned that. So basically neutrality, it's just non-judgment.
Yeah.
So I started being more in that space of neutrality where, you know, you look at other people's body and my own body without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more judgment that I stopped dropping against myself, I would also reflect how I would see other people's body, because I had a lot of judgment.
Oh, yeah. It's like a mirror.
It is.
It just bounces back.
And, you know,
whether you're judging yourself or other people.
Exactly. And it's just so interesting. And I remember many, many years ago, I was dating a guy, and this guy came to me and said, oh, I had a dream with you when you were 5 pounds lighter. And I was devastated when he said I know.
Oh my God.
I know, right? Isn't it terrible?
5 pounds, like, 5 pounds, you can't even notice.
I know, no. And remind you, at that day when we were dating, I was a size zero. I was like,
oh, hell no.
I was really tiny. But me back in those days, I'm like,
I would have dumped his ass so hard.
You know, like, I know.
God.
If anyone told me these days, I'll be like, I would just like shut the door. Oh, and like, no, you're out. But it was so interesting because it was also like a reflection of my self-worth. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Where I was back in those days, because I remember when he said that, and that stuck in my mind. So I remember, like, I went to the gym that day and I started crying as I was like on the treadmill, and like, and these tears coming down, like, oh my God. I'm like, I need to lose those 5 pounds, because it became my narrative that I had to lose the 5 pounds so I would become validated by this guy, right? So my self-worth was a lot reflected on other people's validation. Mm-hmm. So that for me, and today looking at that, I'm like, oh, wow, yes, there's a different level of consciousness I was in. And just looking nowadays, would I ever accept that? Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
No, no, no. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of projecting.
Right. And it was a mirror of how
I was seeing myself, right, and how I was feeling about myself, you know? So that was like a very interesting experience just going through that. But, and I think it was kind of, for me, it was also being in the space when you start not only questioning, but I started shifting this narrative,
mm-hmm,
you know, that I don't need other people's validation.
No.
You know, around my body. And even when people say things about my body, for me, it doesn't affect me anymore. What other people think, you know, because in my mind, I don't think we should comment on anyone's body.
No,
like whatsoever.
No,
because it's not my business.
No,
you know,
your only business is your own body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't stand, you know, when you see those magazines where they put women's body on blast, mm-hmm, like, oh, so and so gained weight. Look at the cellulite on her,
right,
tushy, whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, absolutely not.
No, and I'm
absolutely
like, maybe she gained weight because she's finally eating.
Exactly.
Or like she's happy, maybe she's going through something.
Absolutely, like, right? I mean, that's her body.
Yeah.
You know, that's the body that she's fully functioning nowadays. But for me, interesting too, like I also became more conscious of like what I put in my body.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
Like it's interesting, right? You start, I think, becoming more conscious of your own energy. And what is it that you're putting in your body? So, but again, like I go like in between being conscious about ingredients and what is in the products, but I don't want to be restrictive, you know?
Right.
So I'm
right,
trying balancing. To have a good balance of that where I'm not like becoming obsessive or paranoid about, oh my God, I cannot have that.
Looking a certain way.
Yeah. Or I cannot have that dessert.
Right,
you know? And
right.
I think I'm in a space now where I have more of a balance in my eating choices and eating because it's nourishment,
mm-hmm,
for my body, not because I'm going to lose weight or gain weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's because I'm replenishing my body and giving energy to my body. So, of course, then I'll tend to eat things that are more like unprocessed, you know, mm-hmm, whole foods. But again, like I love, Shannon and I, we love having our desserts.
Totally.
Burgers, vegetarian burgers, by the way.
Yeah, we're both Sagittarius. Yeah. I technically am a pescatarian. I've been, mm-hmm, since I've started this, it's been 1 week. So we'll just say that. But I've been eating a lot of salmon, like maybe twice a day, mm-hmm, type of salmon situation. And so now I feel kind of salmoned out because I feel like that was a little...
You had enough.
That was a little extreme for me. I mean, I'm still going to eat it because it's a good source of protein. I have a hard issue, or not a hard issue, like I have a hard time, or maybe this is a narrative that I have, but like finding protein that I want to eat,
mm-hmm,
as a vegetarian. And maybe this is something that you can share on like how do you feel like you get your protein? Like, what do you eat to get your own protein as a vegetarian? Because for me, I'm like, okay, I know that there's, you know, veggie burgers, there's tofu, and then there's like nuts and stuff like that. But I get kind of bored,
mm-hmm,
with like eating the same thing all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think you love that variety.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the thing about being restrictive is that it is what the word is. You're limiting yourself, you know, to a lot of options. And my goodness, if you look at nature, look at the variety of food, mm-hmm, and vegetables and fruits that we have. But I think, I mean, the most important question that I ask myself is, what is my intention?
Yeah.
When I am eating, when I'm choosing the food that I put in my body, is it because today, I don't know, maybe I want to feel, I want to celebrate, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get myself a cookie.
Yeah.
Or a brownie.
Yeah.
Whatever
comfort eating.
And today, I don't feel like cooking. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm going to have something quick, you know, or
like Asian food sounds great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just order some delivery. Or is it because I want to feel healthier?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, and I started dropping the word diet.
Yeah.
I think it's the word diet itself, for me at least, you know, it's just very restrictive.
It has the word die in it.
Yeah. Nothing good comes from that, right?
No, like that vibration of like the word diet.
Yeah.
It literally has like die in it.
And yeah.
You know, sometimes you feel like dying when you're on a diet.
Exactly. And nothing comes, you know, nothing good comes out of when you start like limiting yourself. So I always ask myself, okay, what is the intention? Well, today I feel like one of my intentions to be healthier, you know, so I'm going to start adding, you know, more nutritious food. And I pay attention to, I call it conscious eating. That's mm-hmm. what I kind of call it, you know, just what are the ingredients that are in this. Even if I'm eating processed foods, what is in it? Mm-hmm. Do I know what the ingredients are? But I think also educating yourself.
Yeah.
About foods and about what you put in your body, you know, and all, you know, you guys do your own research. You know, there's a lot of stuff out on the internet, YouTube channels, podcasts that you can talk to a nutritionist, mm-hmm. a dietitian, a specialist in that. But because what works for my body might not work for you.
Right.
Right. There's things that I enjoy eating that you're like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Not. Right.
You know.
Right. Like you will never catch me eating pickles or mayonnaise.
And I love mayonnaise. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, that just like creeps me out.
So, exactly. Yeah. But I think for me too, another thing is an intuitive. It's also listening to the cues that my body is sending me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Am I hungry?
Right.
Am I really hungry or just like bored?
Bored or trying to fill the void?
Yeah. Am I? Yeah. So you're like, oh, okay.
Avoiding an emotion that I like need to
be. Am I feeling anxious?
Yeah. Right.
Or you're tired.
Right.
Right. You're tired. So it's also listening to what is it your body is trying to tell you. Maybe you do have a headache because you haven't had any food or water.
Right.
In your body. Right. So I always like to take just a moment and just pause and just ask my body, okay, what do you need right now?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, you're feeling tired. Okay, I just need to maybe just lay down on the couch.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
a minute.
Right. And maybe you're genuinely tired. Maybe mm-hmm. you're fatigued because you haven't eaten
or
absolutely. You haven't drank enough water.
Yes. Could be so many things.
So many things. Or you're energetically overwhelmed.
Yeah, absolutely. Burned out.
Burnt out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, burnout is a huge, you know, hot topic in the workplace these days, but you can just be burnt out from like life. Like we've been in this pandemic for a while. And
mm-hmm.
A lot of people, what's interesting about the pandemic is like it provided people an opportunity to focus on other things and like shake up like routine. I think it really shook up my routine. I was very routine of like going to work at a corporate office from like, I worked at a startup from like, you know, I'd get there between 9 and 10 a.m. and then stay until 7 or 6 if I would do a Rumble class after work. Then I'd get home at 8 and then I would eat later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would stay up till 11 and then do it all over again. And like, so now I'm very fortunate to work from home. And during the summer of 2020, I think we walked like 6 miles every day in Golden Gate Park. Like, every single day. And my sister lost 55 pounds. And she did this TikTok, you know, trending. It's not a diet. It's not a diet at all. It's like a lifestyle change where you do 75 days. So it's called 75 hard. And I'm not promoting this in any way, but this worked for her where she did 25 grams of sugar per day because that was her trigger. Mm. She's a sugar, you know, fanatic as a lot of us are.
Mm-hmm.
But like she wasn't measuring her sugar calories. And I think that was really what did it, like just measuring her sugar intake. And like, I know myself when I eat a lot of sugar, I do not feel great.
That's your body, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's just speaking to you.
Right. And like, I get like, this might be TMI, but sometimes I get yeast infections because,
mm-hmm.
and I, for a long time, I was dealing with like chronic yeast infections. I think it was related to what I was eating and like the types of just like my mental image of and mental formation about, I think it was also like dating someone at the time. You're dating that dream that it reminded me of when I was dating this guy in 2017. I only dated him for a short amount of time, but he would like grab like my, you know, stomach fat And then he would grab like the fat under my chin. And then I just became hyper aware of me having a double chin, me being like really round in my stomach. I just would constantly think about that. And
then it's just so rude.
It was so terrible. And I think I attracted that dynamic or situation in, and like, I don't want to take full ownership of how he was in that moment, but like, he would do that a couple times, and then it really bothered me, but I was never able to like express
and speak up
about it. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of it just sat in my body.
Yeah.
It sat in my body and it found its way to like, and it's interesting. I feel like when that happened, it caused me to gain weight in my face and my stomach. And I was like, how is this? Because my attention was there.
Yeah.
It was just hyper focused on like what my, mm-hmm. I'm like, am I getting a double chin? Am I not getting a double chin? And then like also like, you know, aging and what you eat and how active you are have a lot to do with it. But I just became super, after that, I never felt attractive in those moments. And then I would like, you know, obviously have sex with him. And I'm like, why is he even into me if he's pointing these things out about my body that like are so terrible? And he would also, when he would do it, he would call me Snorka.
No.
Yes. And Snorka is a Finnish cartoon. Very, very adorable. I think Snorka's cute. But yeah, Snorka. And they are little round, like chubby little, I don't know if they're horses or little, I don't know what they are, but they're little animals. They're a cartoon. You can look it up. So he was like, oh, you look like Snorka. And I was like, okay. And like, I'm like, okay, I guess like, you know, I do have kind of a round face. And like, you know, sometimes my body is, I have a square torso. Like, and I've accepted my square. Shout out to all the girls with the square torsos out there.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
We all like, come in different shapes.
Right. Exactly. And then sometimes it's a little bit of a potato or an egg, depending on if I'm bloated or whatever, you know? But like, you know, round is a shape too. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And there's no judgment. I feel like I've cleaned out a lot of like, that was like 2017, 2018. And then I gave up dating in 2018 because I was just like, this is really toxic for me. Like, this is just, it was all centered around like the physical elements of dating. I never connected mentally or spiritually with any of the guys I was dating. It was all about the physical, what I looked like, how attractive I was for them. It was all for them. And then I never really like, it was all external validation. And like, and it did the opposite. I got externally invalidated all the time. And that was like also a horrific experience, you know, the trauma that you need to unpack and clean out now. So, you know, thank you for that.
Yeah, but it taught you a big lesson.
It did.
Too,
yeah. It taught me that I took literally a huge break in dating. Like, I'm still kind of coming out of my break, and like I went into this like self-discovery journey, and I'm still discovering like what does self-love mean, self-validation mean. And I actually went back to the meditation school that Lily teaches at now, and I'm in like a 3-month program as like it's called apprenticeship. And so I've been looking specifically like, what does self-love really mean? And like, because that's something that I've been going through. I cleaned out a lot of my issues around career and finance. And like, it's an ongoing journey. So like every day, but
it is. It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah. It's like figuring out how to balance it all. Like how to balance like having abundance, how to balance like, and like attracting more of that. And then how to balance like, you know, every avenue of my life in a very holistic way. And I think that's like what I'm intentionally doing that. And so having balance in every area of my life, not being hyper focused on one or the other or a few or the other, because then that when I don't pay attention to something, it just gets bottled up and it just blows up. Mm-hmm. Or at least from my experience when dealing with it or not dealing with it. And then so now I'm like, okay, I gotta pay attention to like all, so you look at it like a stovetop, you know, you got all your pots boiling. And so you got your career, you got like your finances, you got love and like self-love, and then you have like relationships with all types of people, not romantic, you know, platonic friendships, whatever it is, you know, coworkers. And then you have like whatever else you have, whatever, how many burners you want. And so I am trying, I'm intentionally wanting to feel more balanced in every having all pots be balanced.
Yeah.
Rather than having one burning and one not even boiling, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But also giving yourself permission and grace that sometimes things, you know, something might be burning.
Yeah. Or boiling over.
Or, you know, and things happen in life. But I think the most important thing too is just to listen to your own self and listen to your body. Because, I mean, often we just like ignore a lot of the messages that our body are sending. And, you know, we've mentioned in your case, you know, someone else's comment, it became your own narrative.
Right. And I'm like, oh, this is why I don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And then it kind of dictates
and
it sets the energy for every other relationship mm-hmm. that you are aligning or not aligning in your life. So I think it's just becoming aware, mm-hmm. you know, whatever is the narrative that you have, either like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Right. And someone else's information too. Mm-hmm.
Did my mom used to say that a lot?
Right.
Does it run in my family? Because mm-hmm. a lot of those things come from generational.
Right. It's like passed on.
Passed on from generation, especially around women's female body.
Like the 1800s?
Oh, my gosh, like, it's the beginning
of
time.
Right. Whatever you're, like, can you imagine, like, we might be operating from a place of 1800s information.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that is so wild to me.
Since, like, the beginning of time, since I think physical bodies were created on this planet, right? Yeah. There's just, like, all this.
As far back as you can remember.
Probably imagine, you know? So I think it's also important to also look at your life, right? Do you enjoy, you know, taking care of your body too?
Right.
Do you enjoy your body mm-hmm. right now? Because I read this quote from a doctor that says, you cannot heal a body that you hate.
That's and powerful.
That is very powerful. And that really shifted for me too. I'm like, do you enjoy being in this body? And I think that's one of the main questions that you can start asking. And there's no judgment on the answer. Even if you say, do you enjoy taking care of your body? Say no. But it's great place to get curious and just ask yourself, well, why? Why not?
Yeah.
Why do I, what is it that I don't like? What has society, what has been telling me about how my body should look?
Right.
And things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it you who doesn't like it, or is it like someone else's information?
Did somebody tell you that? Who was it? How long ago was it? Is this information still serving you?
Right.
I mean, that's the biggest.
Most of the time it's going to say no. Yeah. Like, this information is no longer serving
you. No, it's not in present time. And I think you're just taking like small steps to just acknowledging, you know, all this information and just bringing more and more things that do make you feel more connected to your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it be activities.
Yeah.
It can be anything, you know, doesn't have to be physical activities. It could be also mental activities.
Right.
Too,
right.
Right. I do enjoy taking care of myself.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you?
So
tell us how you take care of yourself.
I think it's like a whole thing, right? Both the physical and the mental. I think the physical, I enjoy getting massages,
mm-hmm.
you know, facials. I think especially in the pandemic too, a lot of us kind of maybe put all the stuff more in the closet, right? Like
back burner,
yeah. Like even like getting your nails done.
Right, right.
So now I guess we're kind of slowly returning to that space. But like I enjoy working out.
Mm-hmm.
I do like a combination of different types of exercise I find on YouTube. I don't have like a specific calendar. I enjoy Pilates. I enjoy working out with weights. Sometimes I'll do a little yoga here and there. So I'm not like, you know,
mix it up.
Very like obsessed with whatever is a workout.
Right.
Whatever I feel like on that day, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
So, but it's just, you know, finding things that you find joy,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, now I need to take care of my mental health.
Yeah.
Too, you know, so meditation, saying no to certain things too.
Yeah.
For me, it's a great way to take care of myself.
We should talk about just trying to say no, or
just that is
the ability to say no. That would just be a good podcast.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That in itself, it's a great topic. But it's just those little things that you start adding up. And I think on a day to day, I do ask myself when I am meditating in the morning, okay, what is my intention today? Mm-hmm. My intention today is maybe I want to be more present. Maybe I want to say hello to my body more times, mm-hmm. you know, especially when you're kind of overwhelmed or stressed. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that a lot this past few weeks. I was getting a little impatient in time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to just take a step back.
Right.
You know, just kind of acknowledging that, okay, the body's trying again to say something to you. Okay, mm-hmm. you need just to pause, take a little break. But, think of just incorporating things that bring into giving yourself permission to bring those space more into your life.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a way to acknowledging too.
Yeah.
Validating this great machine that we have, which is our physical bodies. You know, it's just also another thing that I wanted to mention is that from, you know, because both Shannon and I, we talk a lot about energy mm-hmm. and spirit. So just think about it, that your spirit, before it manifests into the physical plane, mm-hmm. it chooses a physical body,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it specifically chose the body that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is that your body look like. So it's just taking time to like look at your body, just acknowledging that.
And validate it.
Validate. It takes care of all its needs. I mean, imagine we've been through all this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're still healthy today, my goodness, that's
what a blessing.
What a blessing and accomplishment, mm-hmm. you know, and it keeps you moving and it's, you know, so it's just taking a moment just to validate that.
Yeah, definitely validate the body you're in. I think that's like literally, and I'm in that journey of validating my body.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And then again, it's not going to be a perfect journey because I do have times too when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Why is this? You also grab myself in the stomach and be like, oh yeah. All this little thing. Well, sometimes you put on pants and pants are a little tight.
Right. Just last weekend, we did our photo shoot. Like, so it's just, I'm so excited. We did it with a photographer in San Francisco. We'll hyperlink her information when we can, but Jessie's awesome. And so she's also Brazilian. And she made us feel, I don't know, I can only speak for myself, but like she made me feel so comfortable and beautiful. Like I've never felt that way before and feel so seen. And like, so it was a really fun experience. And I think that was also a healing experience for me of like, not only with like my struggle of feeling seen in the past, not so struggling anymore. Like I feel like I'm shedding that sense of, you know, minimizing it or not minimizing it in the sense of like, putting it under the rug, but just like getting it out of my space and like,
yeah, you don't put your energy
like not so much charge to it. And like, it's just like, it's part of who I was. And now I'm shifting into a different place of like, who do I want to be right now? And especially with the body stuff, like, I've been tanning in the backyard. I don't know. It's not related to exercise or diet or anything, or like, excuse me, like,
but
not
it's just
diet,
a but, moment that yeah. you spend with your body.
Yes, right? Exactly. And I feel like I get some days I feel like, okay, I got a little bit too much sun or like vitamin D, but we have the peak tanning hours. And tanning culture is also a whole other thing. Like it has stigmatisms behind that. And I'm not promoting tanning culture at all, but I don't get a lot of vitamin D. And when it's sunny in San Francisco, I do
we don't get that often.
It doesn't happen too often, but there are days when it's been like, you know, 65, sunny, not too much wind. I bought some lounge chairs and I get internet from my backyard. So I will literally work from my lounge chair. I bought a pop-up laptop tent. So
I didn't even know that existed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. On Amazon. Yeah. So... because the laptop will get really hot in the sun. And I'm like, I love multitasking. That's like something, And I think that's related to me having ADHD, like, you know, being neurodivergent. Like, I love multitasking. If I can two birds, one stone it, or multiple birds, one stone it, I will. So I'm able to work from my backyard and I'm like getting my vitamin D and just getting a tan and feeling great. And because I feel better when I'm in the sun. And there's something very healing about the sun.
Absolutely.
And I think people, I don't know if people talk about it enough. I want to talk about it all the time now that I've been in the sun for like multiple days. But I can't explain enough. Like, I am totally a sun child and that's been helping. And then getting out, and I've been
just being outdoors,
getting outside. Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely being outside, either if it's all like in nature, you know, right. But just,
and even a walk in the neighborhood,
yeah, like going around the block.
Yeah, they talk about the hot girl walk. I'm a big TikTok fan. Like the hot girl walk, whether it's like walking on the treadmill, ideally walking outside, because then you can connect with nature and you
connect with yourself,
your earth energy. And that's very body related. And like when you're channeling your earth energy, and it's nice to like go, you can listen to, hey, maybe you're listening to this podcast on your walk.
Hey, I mean,
yeah, the hot girl walk, or you know, like, and hot girl walk is not a female or like feminine oriented thing. You can be a man and go on a hot girl walk. Like, it is a phenomenon.
It's a powerful walk.
It's a powerful walk. It's a self care walk. And I think like that's been helping me. And then I bought an elliptical. I still need to set it up. I bought like a few workout machines because I do really want to focus on like integrating like more movement into my life. Mm-hmm. Even if I can't get outside, like if it's too cold or if I'm not feeling like leaving the house or whatever it is. So I bought like kind of a home gym. So
that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I think moving the body is very important because not only, of course, good for your health, but it helps you to connect with your body. And by the way, when I was mentioning about working out too, my workouts, I do all at home.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go to the gym anymore.
No.
I went from like being a gym rat to just like, even before the pandemic, I think it's been maybe, I don't know, like eight years ago that I started just like doing workouts at home.
Yeah.
And the internet is an awesome place.
Oh, totally.
To find those workouts, you just go on YouTube, type in whatever you want to work out, and it pops up like tons of videos. And you can just pick what you want and, you know, and just go for it.
Yeah. So we discovered Ava Fitness videos. Ava Fitness, I don't know where in Asia she lives.
Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube and it's free. It's free. It's like,
yeah, exactly. And all this information is free.
It's out there. Great. She is amazing. You can do like a 25-minute video and you can burn like so many hundred calories, but it's actually fun. And then you get kind of addicted to like doing it in a positive way, right? Like you just like the movement and you actually see results, like the toning. And my personal goal with my body, I don't want to put a number around how much weight I want to release because I don't want to lose it and then find it again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's about language and the power of language.
Yes.
Being intentional. So the weight I want to release, I see it as energy. I see weight as energy and like, this is just information and energy that may have been serving me in the past, but it's not serving me anymore. So like being able to like shift the energy.
Yeah, because it starts matching your internal energy.
Exactly, exactly. So being able to be energetically aligned with like my being and my body, and like having my body be a reflection of this like spiritual journey that I'm on. And we're always on a spiritual journey, right? Yes. But this chapter in the book, or whatever way you want to think about it, whatever framework resonates with you, you know, when you are thinking about your body, like figuring out what are the root issues that you've been experiencing. If there's any resistance to working out, like I still experience resistance to working out, or resistance to like be mindful with your eating habits or whatever it is.
Procrastination.
Yes. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a big.
That's something else.
Very familiar. Yeah.
I think it's just becoming more aware.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Where the resistance is, and I think also writing down things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great tool because I know a lot of people, you know, maybe have a hard time meditating or don't know how to meditate, whatever the circumstances, but writing, I think everyone has access to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like journaling or writing it down. You know, if you feel like you are either having resistance or how is your body feeling, I think you just kind of put in that information out there too. It's kind of nice to have a visual.
Yeah.
You know, of those things and just kind of like taking from there. Like, yeah. Small steps.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Small steps. And like they have treadmill desks. Like if you are a workaholic or dealing with the experience of having a difficult time getting out of the house to move your body, there are situations like we have my sister on the bike desk. So like I've been bike desking, like
it's just amazing.
Yeah.
The amount of, you know, equipments and
resources
for moving your body and assisting you in this journey, because it's not only about the physical body. It's also about your mental and your emotional body too, because when everything else isn't, you know, you're in a more in a healthier mental state,
right?
In a healthier emotional state, your body is going to reflect that,
right? Like vibrationally aligned. Yeah.
You know, and it's just it kind of translates, you know, in your physical body and everything else. So it is important just to kind of just take a look at that, you know. Take a look and do like a little check in with yourself. Paying attention, bringing more awareness. How is your mental health looking that day?
Right.
Am I tired?
Mm-hmm.
Am I
upset about something?
Yeah, am I angry about something? Whatever it is, and just kind of just acknowledging that.
Yeah.
And like, that's the first step.
How do you deal with those feelings when you are in those moments of feeling upset? Like, are you one who loves to work out? Are you want to make yourself feel better? Are you someone who seeks comfort in food? And like, you know, that's real. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been there.
And I feel that if you feel stuck in those questions, it is important to acknowledge that we might need help.
Right.
Or support.
Right.
In answering those or helping us answer those questions. Because sometimes it's hard, you know, to kind of to find the answers within ourselves. So important to also recognize, you know what, I need maybe a specialist to kind of help me out. We either be a therapist, a psychologist, a counselor, maybe a nutritionist, or maybe like a close friend if you cannot like afford, you know,
totally.
Like all this stuff, like a close a person that you feel safe talking to. They can kind of maybe, you know, giving you an insider perspective around that and just start kind of like healing, you know, those things inside of you, because and everything, because the energy is just going to start matching all that too. But I mean, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Dove in and went down the rabbit hole there.
So I just kind of wanted to finish with this. I found a quote.
Okay.
That I love it. And it kind of like reflects also where I am today too. So it is a quote from this book called More Than a Body. It's Your Body is an Instrument, not an Ornament, by Lexi and Lindsay Kite.
Mm-hmm.
And then they really dive in into about all these topics that we talked about, societal conditioning programming, you know, and generational patterns, behaviors. So this book promotes body image resilience, and it helps you question and learn all these toxic narratives. So this is the quote that I really resonate with. So it is, positive body image isn't believing that your body looks good. It's knowing your body's good regardless of how it looks.
I love that. That's beautiful. That resonates with me.
Right. So just let that information kind of sink in. Just validate and acknowledge your body. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to, you know, hearing your stories and your comments and your relationships with your body.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for listening and joining us. So don't forget to leave us a comment and also follow us on this podcast.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the next episode of Psychic Girls Next Door.
Bye.